everyone, and welcome to the Abundology Podcast. I'm excited today to talk with Mandy Podlesny, who is an empowered eating coach and host of the More with Mandy podcast. So I'm really excited to talk with you today because I have so many clients that right now are in the losing weight stage, getting healthy stage. I think after COVID too, you know, quite a few of us, you know, perhaps put on a few extra pounds.
Yeah.
So before we get started, can you just tell us a little bit about how you got on this journey to be an empowered eating coach?
Yes. And I won't keep you here all day because it's kind of a long, complicated story. And who knew, if you told me today, or if you told me back then, I would be here now. I'd be like, you're nuts. But yeah, so I harnessed my health challenges that, I began it at 19, to do what I do now, because if I'm going to be challenged with all of this stuff, I might as well try and teach some people and help people out. Cause it's not been easy. So when I was 19, I bent down to pick up a shoe and I tore my meniscus and I got a surgery and it was supposed to heal and it never did. So I bounced around between a couple of doctors, in that 6 month period of just trying to figure out why my knee wasn't healing. And I finally got a second surgery. And then the next day, my entire body swelled up and all of my joints were just completely swollen. And yeah, it was very weird. I was 19 around then, trying to function and do my normal life of starting college and dating and all of that. And it was just really frustrating because no one could tell me what was wrong. So for 15 years, I played with my diet, went to a billion doctors, drank all the pills and potions and shakes and injections and all of the things for a really long time. And then, I would be on again, a diet, off again, a diet. I'd keto a burrito. I would
keto burrito. That's great.
I would, well, I didn't do keto back then, but, yeah, I mean, I was just doing like more paleo, but I was doing like cleanses and fasting and detoxes and like all of the stuff. You know, when you're desperate like that, you just do what you think is best. Right. And at the worst period of my life, I was eating kale and chicken because that was the only thing that I felt wasn't triggering me, or like triggering my inflammation. And, I went home to see my dad cause I lived in San Diego at the time. And, he looked at me and he goes, "You look like shit." And I was like, "Oh,
thanks, well, dad." Yeah.
Yeah. Well, before you all get mad at my dad, he's actually really nice, but, but truly like he said what everyone else was thinking. And it was the catalyst to really me, taking my personal power back and being like, okay, I really need to make health my priority, or I am genuinely going to be in a wheelchair by the time I'm 30. So I got, ironically, it's funny when you have a breakdown and then a breakthrough, all the things get to be in alignment. And, I found a doctor a couple weeks later, diagnosed me, this chronic condition called ankylosing spondylitis, which is inflammation everywhere. And, I ultimately, got treated and, you know, started to see some improvements through the therapies that he was using, paired with a little bit of diet and stuff like that, but I still had to get my knees replaced at 28. I had an elbow surgery. Yeah, it was a lot. An ankle surgery. So it was a lot of stuff. So I'm pretty much like a diet expert and a surgery expert at this point, but I took control of my health. And in the midst of me recovering from my surgeries, I couldn't keep my eyes open. I was on disability. I had medical debt, credit card debt up to my eyeballs. Like it was insane. And, somebody was posting about pure therapeutic ketones, this exogenous ketone, which means a drinkable ketone. And I was like, I don't even know what ketone is, but like, sounds like maybe I should try it. I ordered it, but I had to pay $20 off a credit card to like order the product. It was like really ridiculous. Like I just look back on that and I'm like, wow. So I ordered the product, I drank it, and I was in ketosis through this pre-therapeutic ketone drink. And I was like, what is this? Because I was able to walk one foot in front of the other down the stairs for the first time.
Wow.
In 10 years, my brain turned on, my chronic fatigue slowly went away. And it was like, actually immediately went away because I had energy. And that was the catalyst to me figuring out the power of ketosis. And I love pure therapeutic ketones. Don't get me wrong, but that is a product. And we want to also make lifestyle changes as well. So I started to really research ketogenic diet, wellness principles. And that is how I am here now.
And that's how you got here now.
Yes.
Well, it's interesting when you're talking about the fasting and the different diets and the this and that, how messed up our idea of food and our relationship with food is in this culture. Do you see that with your clients?
Yes. And I started out, that was about 4.5 years ago was when I started this whole journey. And then I started my business as well. And in the last 3 years, I have been like, okay, teaching keto, here's the meal plan. Let's do this. And I'm like, okay, I would do like 21 day challenges and people would do like 4 days. And then I'd be like, well, am I a bad coach? And then I'm like, no, it's nothing to do with me. I'm pouring into these people, but they're just mentally not there. And I'm like, okay. So I started asking questions and I started really listening. And ultimately the paradigm of the diet industry is what's messing people up. In addition to our trauma, our excuses, our justifications, our everything. So I have actually evolved from doing really keto coaching to really helping women fix their relationship with food, ditch their diet drama, and love themselves confidently, even naked. So that is what I do now because of exactly what you said. The diet industry is insane. We feel like we need to be on a diet, off a diet. Screw that.
Yeah, exactly. And I think a lot of times we look at it as like, lose the X number of pounds, lose the 20 pounds, and then I can go back to eating how I was before. Yeah. You know, like it's a temporary thing, which really, come on, let's be real. That doesn't work. Yeah.
No, not at all. So yeah, it's just really going from emotional eating to empowered eating and really stepping into your personal power and making proactive decisions and not emotional ones.
So how do you go to empowered eating? What does that even mean?
So we think that we need willpower, right? And yes. Willpower is a circumstantial power. So we're seeking an outside source to either inspire us or we seek, oh, well, I'm going to do a diet and that's going to empower me. And then once I lose XYZ pounds, because I'm going to do this diet or take this product, then I'm going to be confident. Then I'm going to love myself. Then I'm not going to have stress. Then I'm not. And it's not then, it's you got to do it now. So often I hear, this is the excuse. And I'm sure everybody can relate to this because I have done it as well. And like in the past, and listen, just because I'm a coach doesn't mean that I don't have to coach myself through and manage my stuff. Yeah. And I'm so transparent to a fault. I'll be like, oh gosh, I ate a gallon of mashed potatoes the other day, but, and it's fine, but it's just like, you don't let that become a habit. It's just a thing. So often we wake up, we go to work. Holy shit, it's 5 p.m. Now I'm face first into the fridge and you have no conscious awareness that you're even doing it. And then that every single day happens. And then all of a sudden you're 40 pounds and you're like, holy shit, what just happened? Like, yeah. And then, so it's really honestly taking a moment, like 99% of a lot of things can be solved with just breath and breathing.
Isn't that the truth? Yes.
It sounds so basic and people are like, wow, that's like the most powerful thing. I'm like, yeah, but it's not like, it's really honestly slowing down. So we emotionally eat because we don't regulate and manage our emotions. So really teaching people how to manage and their emotions and start checking in with themselves. So in the mornings, I really just teach, okay, like you don't need a whole morning routine. You can do a ritual. Because routine sounds like long hour or long time, right? You can do it. And my rituals, right before I even popped on here, I wrote a little journal. I'm a little low energy today. I just wrote my journal, prayed to, I love God. I don't know what, like, yeah, God, yeah. Angels,
whatever
universe,
the bigger, whatever,
higher
the bigger
self, whatever you feel. So I just wrote a little thing in my journal and I was like, God, please help me push through this energy and speak through me today. And that could be your morning thing. So I do that several times a day and I encourage people to do that several times a day. So just really regulate and manage your emotions so that it's not a whole accumulation at the end of the day. And then you're like, what just happened? I'm face first in Ben and Jerry's. And so that's it.
So basically just being mindful through the day and checking in, examining where you're feeling, all of that.
Yes.
So that when 5 o'clock comes, you're not just mindlessly, unconsciously just digging into the fridge and, you know.
Yeah. And I mean, realistically, how much pleasure do you really get from self-sabotage?
Yeah. Right.
Really?
Good question.
So what I say is, so wake up, get a nice gratitude going, breaths, get yourself centered, get yourself ready so you're not reacting. and then set some alarms throughout the day. Check in with yourself, take a deep breath in, and re-regulate your emotions so you're not go, 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 go. Then at 5:30, when you pull into the driveway and your husband's waiting for you and the kids are screaming and the dogs are going nuts and all of that, before you go in the house, get yourself centered and get yourself together so you can, again, proactively handle the chaos that's going on, because you're in then your personal power, not your emotional reactionary, oh my God, life is going crazy right now. You're able to remain peaceful and calm and less reactionary. And then before you go in and open the fridge, and if you are craving things, because honestly, yes, there's personal power that needs to be handled, but your stress response, because we soothe with food, also an issue with the diet paradigms and everything that we've been through, emotional eating. Oh, I broke up with my boyfriend, eat some Ben and Jerry's. Your stress response and the chemicals that are going on in your brain is the exact same physiologically as you being chased by a bear. So your body has no idea your stress response. So your stress response, when that heightens, you reach for food instead of running away. So what I challenge people to is find something that will give you pleasure in that period of time that you're not going to the food, and you're rewiring your brain, finding pleasure in something else and then not food.
And so what are some of the things that you would suggest that people find pleasure in before they go to the food?
Honestly, it could be like, I really just do custom things. Like what makes you feel happy? What makes you feel excited? Like, and what makes you feel great? Like go love on your husband for a minute, even though he's pissing you off, or go pet the dog for a second. And you know, just like, go find joy, like fun something. And like, it could just, again, be something small. And then if you can't really, you're trying to find something there and you can't, just think about five things that you're grateful for, because if you're in a state of gratitude, you can't have a bad attitude. So it will start to, again, rewire your thought process around what gives you actual pleasure and what actually self-soothes that stress response.
Yeah. I know when I used to work outside of the home, I would come home, let's just say 5 o'clock. And we had a rule in our house where you couldn't talk to mom for 20 minutes after she got home.
Love
because
that.
I just needed that time to just like shift from boss mode, yep, to mom, you know, at home mode. And, you know, for many years, it was the second I got in the door, what's for dinner, mom? What's for dinner, mom? You know, and that's stressful. So that 20 minutes made all the change that I needed to kind of adapt the evening and the different energy. So I love what you're saying about just taking a moment, finding the joy, or going to the five things of gratitude. Fabulous ideas.
Yeah. So. Dance parties. I'm a huge dance party person.
Ooh, I love that. That's a good idea.
God, if you looked at the cameras in my kitchen, I have a doggy cam, and I'm like, oh God, there's way more Mandy dance parties than there are doggy videos, I think.
That's fun. Now let's talk a little bit about biohacking. And you know, I'm not exactly sure what biohacking even is.
So biohacking is just like your biology and then hacking your biology. So it's essentially figuring out the best ways, supplements, diets, lifestyle changes, managing your stress and emotions in order to optimize your biology and your performance and your, you know, your overall just human experience.
Okay. So are some of the things then like shifting to different foods, eating at different times of the day, I would think, just, is it once again, specific to the person?
Yeah, for sure. And it may be because we all have different biologies. Like twins can do the exact same diet and one could work. All diets work. But okay, let's just remember our outcomes. But essentially, like, okay, so let's just say two twins could take the exact same product, supposed to do the exact same thing, but something could work for someone, for them, and then not for us. And then this is where comparison is the thief of joy as well. When people are comparing themselves, when they do some sort of diet, they're like, well, Sally just lost so much weight. And I'm like, okay, well, stop comparing yourself to Sally. You have different microbiomes and different bodies and DNAs and all of that. So it's essentially just, you know, just custom figuring out what works best for you. But ultimately I teach these five principles, five pillars of health, and then a bonus one if you feel good. So five pillars of health: nutrition. What are you doing nutritionally? I teach primary diet should be meats, veggies, healthy fats, and then a little seasonal fruit if that's what you want. But a meat, veggie, and healthy fat is more ketogenic, low carb, lifestyle is what I kind of teach, because that's how our bodies are meant to be fueled. However, I do understand that chips and salsa and margaritas happen on Taco Tuesday.
Yes.
So if you want to have a Taco Tuesday, then go enjoy a Taco Tuesday and like make that a 10% thing and make that a cheat meal, not a cheat life. So nutritionally, right? Then you got your movement. So often I see people are like, oh, well, do I have to do exercise with the ketogenic diet? I'm like, you should do exercise it regardless. It's not just for diet.
Right.
And again, it goes back to our old programming. We don't really understand that exercise is good for your brain. It's good for your muscles. It's good for your stress response and stress relief and your just overall health and wellness. And I'm not saying you need to go be a CrossFitter and a weightlifter and all of that, but go move your butt for a minute. And if you're not willing to go join the gym, go to Target, park in the parking lot as far away as you can, then go in, walk around and buy the stuff that you don't need, and then leave and go back. So move your butt.
Move your butt. That's good.
And then the third one is getting good sleep. Sleep is super important. If you're not sleeping, you're going to be in a heightened emotional stressful state. You're not repairing at night. So just really practice good sleep hygiene, turn the lights off, get off the screens, and really practice a good night routine. Hydration, be an adult and drink water. So often, so many people say, I don't like the taste of water. I'm like, well, I don't know what to tell you. You need water. You're a human being. So drink some water. And then practicing self-care, and then stress management is the other one. So that's what I teach.
Oh, that's fabulous.
And then the bonus one is to drink pure therapeutic ketones if you feel called to do that as well, which is basically the ketogenic diet in a glass.
In a glass. Okay, yes. Great. So when somebody comes to you right away, the first appointment, let's say, mm-hmm. what are some of the things that you ask or you talk about, or how do you set them up for success?
I ask them why they can't. What is your I can't because?
Ooh, that's good.
And then it goes on for about 10 minutes of this whole entire story. And then I ask kind of triggering questions based on that story. And I don't mean to be, it's the exact same thing my dad did for me. And I don't mean there's psychology there. We didn't know that at the time. My dad was breaking my pattern, breaking my subconscious, and, you know, shifting me into a new perspective. But I asked the questions that no one's willing to ask. And I asked the tough ones. I have a t-shirt that says I'm not for everybody. Sometimes this pisses people off because they are not ready for it. And that is okay. They're not ready for the substantial change. They're okay living in that I can't because story. So often it's a lot easier to create this whole story about why I can't instead of shifting it to I can or how can I? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where we start. And then I start to kind of ask questions based on that and then kind of design a plan and see if we're aligned to work together. And if we're not, we're not. And if we are, we are. You're an empowered woman and I am not here to manipulate you into doing things you don't want to.
Yeah. I imagine you can find out a lot of information about, you know, what's holding you back, what you can't, why can't you do this? Yeah.
Yeah.
And not everybody is ready. You know, they're not. I find that with my coaching and stuff too. Sometimes you're just not ready. And for whatever reason, and if it's not your time, why waste all of your energy and beat yourself up because you're going to get it done when it's that mind shift that you need? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I have things in my life right now that I am not, my TV before bed habit has, I know this as a health coach. I have developed this. I know this. I'm slowly breaking it. I know my I can't because story very well because I have the whole story, but I'm setting non-negotiable standards a couple times a week, meaning I'm doing this is something that I am going to do 3 times a week. I am not going to watch TV. I hit that every week for the last 2 weeks. And now you move into 4 days and then you just gradually put yourself off. So I just know my own BS. So I'm navigating that. So again, when I tell you I struggle with things too, it's totally normal. You just got to navigate that I can't because and shift it to how can I.
So what did you call that? A non-negotiable
standard. That is what I teach.
Non-negotiable standard. That's good. That's really good. And I like also how you have broken it up for your TV viewing, like 3 days, and then you get 3 days down and you add another one. So that's real good.
Yeah. It builds confidence. This is like something that people, oh God, I'm going to go to the gym on Monday for 6 days a week, but y'all don't even have sneakers. Like,
it's so true.
It sounds real nice. Like, like it took my non-negotiable standard for 6 months after I had my surgeries and was able to like start going to the gym was 2 days a week. Like, I was like, that's all I'm willing to do. And I felt good about it because I built my confidence up. I got the consistency down. And then I start to build upon it, but you got to start somewhere. So instead of promising yourself all these bullshit lies that you know you're not going to do because it sounds nice and it makes you feel better for wanting to make the change, how about you actually just start taking action and implementing the change? And then you're going to start building your confidence, building that consistency. So hell or high water, set your non-negotiable standards for the five pillars. How many cheat meals are you going to have? What time are you going to bed? How much water are you drinking? What are your boundaries in self-care and self-management? And then movement. What are you going to do for movement? So set those, but set minimum standards that you're going to hit. Not, I promise myself I'm going to go to the gym and then right. You don't.
Like you are doing it no matter what. I am yes. doing this. Yes. That's yep. brilliant. Just that switch alone is just brilliant. I love it. Mm-hmm. So any words of wisdom to end if anybody's out there listening and just even wants the hint of a start today, like I want to start a new life today, a new relationship with food. What are a couple of the hints you can give them?
First and foremost, congratulate yourself on the fact that you're here and you have the awareness that you know that you need to be making changes, because the only way that you're like, oh my God, I need to make changes. I really want to do this. I really like you're inspired now. Awesome. So congratulate yourself, forgive the past on how you got here because it doesn't really matter. You can't change it anyway. Then set your non-negotiable standards for those five pillars I talked about. And then build that consistency. And as you start to do that, recalibrate to something that's continues to start to work for you and slowly start to build that consistency and confidence around what you're doing. But that's pretty much just like the little frameworks of just getting started, because we should all over ourselves. I should. Well, stop shoulding yes. all over yourself and start getting your butt,
start moving
into
your butt.
Some sort of action yes. and really focus on just being 1% better than you were yesterday so that it compounds over time versus doing 0% and thinking about it.
That's so good, because we think of money compounding over time, but yeah. also our actions do too. That's a great reminder. Yeah. So thank you so much, Mandy. And you can work with Mandy or find out more information, her website, mandyp.com. She also has a really great Facebook community and of course the podcast, the More yes. with Mandy podcast. So I will put links to all of those in the show notes. And thank you so much for being here today. This was really, really good.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you. And I appreciate all the work you're doing to help heal the world.
Thank you. All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you again next time.